Welcome to the Advice for Lovers podcast. This is a show where people get excellent advice and find solutions to their relationship issues. Your resident guides for today are experienced relationship coaches and counselors, Jenny and Drew. And now your hosts, Jenny and Drew.
While many find the information on this show helpful, it is, however, for entertainment purposes only.
If your love boat is going under, don't worry, we're here for the rescue.
That's right, we'll throw you a life raft, we'll give you swimming lessons, and we will help you, because that's what we want to do. I don't do it for the money, I do it for the love of the game. Love seeing people in love, iron out their problems, or head for the hills, whatever's going to make you the happiest. Whoa, my mic is so far away. I think we should start all over.
You sounded good.
Cut, take two. So, on today's episode, if you were with us last week, you know that we take questions from listeners and from various sources on the internet, and we, you know, kind of dissect them, simplify them, and propose some solutions. And we look at it from all angles, so we're not just taking the side of the writer. Sometimes it's the writer's issue that needs to be addressed. Oftentimes it is. So we did well last week. We got rave reviews, and I think we're going to do good this week. I'm excited about today's show. How about you, Jenny?
I'm excited too. It's always a pleasure to take a look at people's issues and help them chew on it, pan out, take a look, address issues, grow. Because the longer you stay in love, the more it can grow. And like you said, if it's not right, then head for the hills. But if you're interested in staying, working through the issues is where it's at. It just grows and solidifies what exists, and it makes it a more deeper connection.
Yeah, we want it to grow, but we want it to grow like a pretty flower, not like a tumor. So this one, we have one that's really long, and I hope we get to it. But let's do the quickies, because some of these are pretty simple, I think. Okay, so first one's from a guy. He's, you know, late teens, early 20s. He says, my friend got a girlfriend, and now he's a complete asshole to me.
Yeah, that is a problem. The person that is being an asshole to his friend clearly isn't balancing friendships and romantic relationships very well. There's time and a place for both. You can have both. Maybe this wasn't his friend to begin with. If he's got a new girl and is just treating his friend like crap, the friend that's being treated like crap might have to go ahead and look at and address this relationship, this friendship, because likely either he'll stay in this relationship or he'll find another relationship. And now you have a friend that's kind of what we call fair-weathered friend, someone who's nice sometimes. That's not a good give and take. And if we want healthy relationships, whether they be romantic or friendships, you have to put up boundaries and do the communication. Communication comes up a lot on the show because that's where it's at quite often. Mm-hmm. So he can address his friend. He can just not address his friend and say, you know what? I evaluated it. This relationship isn't worth discussing all this stuff for. I'm just going to leave, head for the hills, like we said earlier. Mm-hmm. He can, if he wants to exercise his communication and he feels like the friendship isn't worth continuing, but it's been a decent friendship, maybe he can address it. Ghosting gets a bad rap, which it's probably not the most highly emotional or educated way to leave a relationship, but some people don't deserve or need responses from you. So I think ghosting gets a bad rap, and it's not always the wrong answer. Sometimes there's nothing to be said and you move along and the person can either figure it out or not. But if he wants to raise a EQ and work on his friendship, then communicate with his friend. I know it sounds like his friend really, like I said at the beginning, has a problem managing relationships, sexual or romantic relationships and friendships at the same time, which would just, you know, point to his issues, his malfunction.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, they're late. They're so young, so maybe it's his first girlfriend or second, and he hasn't found that way to balance things out. Mm-hmm. You get the early stage, the honeymoon stage, frantic and just want to spend every waking moment with you, boo-boo. I get it. And maybe he can talk about it with his friend. Maybe he's already talked about it. Maybe you just put the relationship on pause, give him some time to let it run its course, and maybe it'll correct itself. Maybe the writer has to change the way he's looking at things, because maybe this guy's not even an asshole. Maybe he's just not spending as much time with you as you want him to. Maybe you're not considering that now he has something else that's occupying a nice chunk of his time. Maybe you're not learning how to fall back and understand that things are changing now. Maybe you're jealous of the time that he's spending with his girlfriend and you're trying to break him up or run interference, and your friend's like, dude, fuck off, you know. You're the writer, so I'm going to talk to you. Maybe you need to get a girlfriend. Maybe you need to give your friend room to explore, because one day you'll be that guy with the girlfriend and give it your time and trying to find balance. You know, there's a lot of things. Maybe he secretly wants a threesome because he's attracted to his friend and not so much the girl at all. You know, we got to be honest with ourselves, explore the possibilities. So there's a lot of room for exploration. Start by looking at you and be willing to communicate. Talk about how you feel with your friend. He's your friend, so talk to your friend. And if he's not willing to talk, then pause, run, ghost, kick his ass, whatever it is you choose to do. You know, take the high road. Of course, that's the best option. That's the suggestion, which is to be compassionate, give some respect his space and his time, and try to work. You know, good friendships are willing to adapt and roll with the changes. You guys are young. Shit's going to change a lot through the years, and you got to be resilient. So that's my two cents for you, little Jimmy. Little Jimmy from Jamaica.
That is good advice for the friend that's being treated poorly, to pan out and see indeed if his friend is treating him poorly. Like, is he saying cruel things and rude things and something of that nature? Or, like you said, is he just not getting enough of his bromance time and he's being spoiled because he used to have all of his time? So panning out and looking at that would be an excellent idea, first of all, wonderful advice. But then also realizing that if this person has a hard time, like if it's one of their his first girlfriends, and if he doesn't want to address how he treats his other friends, like if indeed he's being cruel and rude and saying rude things, that's a toxic relationship. It doesn't have to be a romantic relationship for it to be toxic. It can be family or friends. So everyone needs to address themselves, take a look, reevaluate. Because I took it as like his friends being mean, like being cruel, saying cruel things. But indeed, if it's just not spending as much time and now he's feeling neglected, he can look at his emotional stuff too, his insecurity, his abandonment, potentially abandonment stuff. So
yeah. And they don't give us a lot of information, so just trying to look at it from different angles. You know, hopefully we hit the right angle, because you know, we don't really know, is the guy literally doing stuff or he just feeling like he's doing stuff? So that's important to consider too. And I mean, you see, I watch movies and they show this in movies all the time. Got a new girlfriend and doesn't have enough time for the bromance, and not as much time as you used to have. And now one of the bros is getting envious and trying to sabotage or whatever, you know, sensitive or in denial about his suppressed homosexual curiosities with his friend. Who knows? No judgment. But let's encourage writers, listeners, to be specific so that we don't have to, you know, we don't have to try and imagine ourselves in your shoes or whatever it is we have. So let's go to some of these should be brief. Let's see. Wife cheated 6 years ago and we stayed together. Recently, I've started thinking about it again. And that's all he said. So it's, you know, something happened in the past. For whatever reason, it started coming back up in his mind. And now he's, you know, experiencing some discomfort. or, you know, some resentments popping back up. I don't know. Let me go first and then you go second, because it's better to go second, because then I can get ideas from what you said. So she cheated on you. It's commendable that if you loved her enough, you were willing to work it out and stay together. Good for you guys. I don't know what triggered this resurgence of these feelings, but if there was something that triggered that, you might want to take a look at that and kind of, you know, get healthy. So like every time you hear that Johnny Cash song, you know, think about my wife cheated on me 6 years ago and get pissed off, because that's not normal. I mean, that's not healthy and it's not nice. But if it just came randomly, then I don't know, maybe it wasn't fully resolved in the first place and you're back where you started from. You're gonna have to figure out how to let it go, how to really dump, really heal, and really forgive, so you guys can continue to move forward. And that's all I got for that.
I will follow that up with healing is in layers. We often will heal in layers. Like when maybe you have a family member or a close friend die, you're sad intensely, acutely. And then you'll often have bouts of sadness and grief that pop up down the line. It's because healing is layered. You might get a lot of it done right off the get-go, let a lot of stuff go, and then things are resurging and resurfacing for a reason to be looked at. Maybe there's some more digging to do there. Mm-hmm. Makes me think she hasn't cheated since then, so at least he's got 6 years of fidelity where he can say, okay, you know, this isn't a chronic thing. She slipped up and I forgave her. It's coming up again. I'll address it because I forgave her. Maybe I can include her in the addressing and discuss it. Hey, I'm having these feelings. It's resurfacing. I'm going to be processing a little bit more. I'd like you to be patient with me. And if I have questions and concerns or I want to talk about it, I hope that you hold space with me so I can move through this next layer of healing. Because when you're deceived and cheated on, you know, it takes a minute to get past that initially.
Yeah.
And like you said, maybe little pieces didn't get looked at. And there's just simply more to hash out there. And it's coming up 6 years later. It could have came up 6 months later, 2 years later. Mm-hmm. Happens to be 6 years for him, which again, it's kind of nice. He had a nice break there of not worrying about it and stressing about it and watching how she behaves. Mm-hmm. Now he can have a little bit more solid grounding to stand on and say, okay, well, again, it's not chronic. She's not doing it all the time. Going to talk myself down or do the healing or talk to someone, be it a professional or the partner or both. So just another layer of healing.
I love that. That makes perfect sense. Just layers. And the reality is you had the 6 years, and that's excellent. I love that. And it's good that he's asking about it. He's not writing a question saying, I started thinking about it and I kicked her out or pushed her in the face. What should I do now? He's talking about it. He's curious, looking for some guidance. So kudos to that guy, Willie from Washington. So let's get to this one. This is a little bit challenging because there was a long story that went with it, but I totally don't remember it. I mean, I didn't write it down, but basically it's called I Ruined Christmas. So there's a married couple, they're different ethnicities, and not that matters, but it matters in this scenario. There was a family Christmas. His family was coming. They came from out of town to stay with the husband and wife for Christmas, and they have their traditions, okay? Before they arrived, the husband and wife they had bad blood about something, some argument, and so they were both walking around pouty, not really talking about it, mostly him. And they went to sleep angry, and they woke up. He woke up still angry, not really talking to her, real passive aggressive type stuff. And so the family came. The family was really happy. She doesn't know their tradition, so she, you know, offered to do this and that, and you know, contributed in her way. And everything seemed to be really good. And the husband pulled her off to the side and said, "You're ruining Christmas. You're not respecting our traditions. How dare you prepare this meal this way when we normally do this?" And he was super angry, and she felt really sad. And she just kept a stiff upper lip and continued to try to be pleasant to the family. And when everyone went home, she communicated with them, and they said they had no problem at all with anything that she did. It was the husband who was being a person, and he told her basically she ruined Christmas for his whole family. And so now she's writing, "What should I do?"
That's very manipulative to not have your family complain or say something. Now, if they would have said, "Hey, can you tell this lady that this is how we do it, or maybe we can educate her?" But clearly he didn't educate her. If she's doing it the wrong way, if it's so important that she do it the right way, whatever the hell that means, he should have walked her through it. "Hey, we don't eat pork, or we don't mix this and this," or whatever she did. He should have educated her. If he's got the expectations that she should know their culture, then he's going to have to be the one to teach her, because it sounds like she's raised in a different culture, maybe religion, all the above.
Yeah.
The problem's on him. He's being a dick. And
yes. He needs a condom. He needs to put a condom on that shit, because he is being a dick. Yeah. And what about disrespecting her culture? You know, maybe there's things that she is used to doing. You know, how about the little blending, a little respect either way? You know, even if we're going to do it his way, let's take a look at, "Oh, I understand why you did it, and maybe next year we'll do it your way," or, you know, something. This guy was something else.
Yeah, it's quite rude. And, you know, you're already slightly insecure, no matter who you are, when you're at a family's Christmas for the first time, even if they're of your same religion and background and stuff. So she was probably already nervous and uncomfortable, and he just really put insult to injury there by getting mad at her. Again, he's not being fair, and he should have absolutely told her the ins and outs. And from the sounds of it, his parents didn't care, so maybe they're interested in a little change and a little tradition change and merging them a little bit. Yeah. She might not want to talk about dicks and condoms. She might want to make him wear one, because I don't know if she needs to have a kid with him, because imagine what the raising of the kid would be like if this is how he feels about Christmas, you know?
Wow. Yeah, I like when you said manipulative, because he's angry with her about something, and, you know, maybe he's hurt, so he wants to hurt her back, which really doesn't make a lot of sense in a loving relationship. There's not a lot of room for that, but that's how people react. And so he clearly was knocking her off her square very much. She's focused on, "Hey, the family's coming, Christmas, yay. And I'm nervous, but yeah, I'm excited about this." And so what a great opportunity for him to use the family as a further sledgehammer to hit her over the head with, like, not only are you a bad person, but you just ruined Christmas for my whole family. So you're a terrible person now. I won. Like, wow, really? Yeah. You're supposed to jump in now, because I'm done.
Yeah, I really think that she needs to watch him. And if he continues to not be supportive of her and help her learn, if that's the way he wants it, then he's likely going to be like this with different subjects that come up in the marriage down the line, kids just being one of them.
Yeah. And just to bring it really back in, for me, because normally I like to look at the writer's point of view, like, what should you do? You should, like Jenny said, pay close attention to this. This is red flag city jumping off everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you need to communicate with him and let him know, you know, you got to grow up here, first of all, and let him know, like, "Hey, this isn't the truth. You're being very mean. You're being unkind. And I don't, you know, my vision of our happy home doesn't include this. So you might want to take a look at your tactics, your attitude, whatever it is. You know, get with one of us and get some serious, like, help, taking a look at things differently." So yeah, you need to stand your ground, or stand up for yourself and communicate with them how you feel and what your boundaries are, because otherwise you may be getting on a merry-go-round that you don't even want to get on. So and start looking for a homeless shelter, just in case. Not really a homeless shelter, but something.
Or a backup plan, sure.
Yeah, because this is serious. This is not, this is serious. This, and it doesn't seem serious because it's just this thing. But this is, you know, sometimes things get serious in increments. They just kind of sneak up on you, you know. So having said that.
Have you ever watched 90 Day Fiancé? It's a reality show on TV, on cable.
Nope.
It's about this topic where you take an American usually is one of the people who date somebody out of the country, and you have 90 days to get married. And if you get married, then that person gets American citizenship, or the American gets, you know, whatever other country citizenship. And this comes up all the time. Like you said, race and culture don't always matter, but in situations like this, it absolutely matters, because if the people aren't willing to merge them, then there's going to be a lot of problems. And I'd say 90% of those couples don't make it, simply because they've mostly had long distance relationships and haven't spent a lot of time together. And then when it, you know, when the tires hit the road and they're living together, they're realizing indeed there's so much to work on and to merge and to mesh between cultures and potential religions and ways of life and stuff. It's very tricky. It's very tricky to date somebody of your background and culture, let alone add some of those differences. It's doable. It can be done. It's been done. It's just tricky.
Yeah. And it's part of what makes it tricky is that we don't market accurate. We're not, if we were used car salesmen, we'd be really good at selling lemons, because we put the best foot forward and we act like there's no other foot. Like, hey, look how clean and manicured my toenails are on this foot. The other foot's all stinky and crusty and has corns and green beans growing out of it. It's like we're not all positive and plussy. We have that other side of us that's, you know, that's still being worked on. And I think that in all fairness, we should try to really represent who we are, both sides of the coin. But I think sometimes we're afraid that if you knew the other side, you wouldn't want to be with us. But it's unfair to hide it. So I tell people, hey, if you're a farter, fart on the first date. You know, let's get it out there. Hey, he's a farter, guys. How long did it take you to find that out? 10 minutes into appetizers.
Jeez.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know if you should come out that quick, but you should reveal who you are and give a person a chance to really like who you are, versus, you know, tricking them and then you let them see the rest of the story after they're really kind of wrapped up in you.
Yeah, and all those red flags are not a carnival. Do not continue toward the red flags. If there's a bunch of them really quickly, another reason to put yourself out there. Let's not waste anyone's time here. If we're not suited for each other, we're not suited for each other. But yeah, being more objective and not only geared to our emotions, because of course when we first meet someone, it's all fuzzy and fantastic, and we want to like each, you know, want them to like us. We want to like them, and it's easy to mix those red flags. But if you come in more balanced and even keeled and panned out, you can see these right away, and then you can end it after the first date if it doesn't work for you.
Yeah, and it's like you said about open relationships and polyamory, or whatever it is you called it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you put it out there who you are, then that might be something that you guys can explore together. You know, hey, I'm not really good at, like, I really love you and I really want to commit to you, but I'm, you know, I'm kind of that guy that, or that girl that, you know, I want to, you know, have sexual relationships with other people as well. She may be okay with that. That might be something you both can do. But if you otherwise, you know, it's way better to talk about it than it is to, you know, deceive and pretend, and you're out here cheating around, you know. So put your cards on the table and let's, you know, play the hand that you're dealt, which is easier said than done, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let me find another one. That one. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm going to edit this out. Okay. Now this one's too intense. So let me see. Okay. And we're back from that commercial break. So this writer This is Sarah from Seattle. She says, my live-in boyfriend of 2 years didn't give me anything for Christmas. What do I do?
Well, maybe he doesn't celebrate Christmas. Maybe this is not part of his process. People often will celebrate Christmas, and then hence their expectation is that everyone does. Maybe he does celebrate Christmas and he's just not purchasing her anything. And I think this is the time when communication comes out. Like, hey, are you tight on money? Because if that's the case, I get it. Maybe a card or a handmade gift and won't take much effort. But learning people's love language is very important. And there's many ways that people appreciate being loved. Some people like little tokens and gifts. Other people like just quality time. Other people are very physical. Maybe we're a combination of all of these. There's a couple more of them. But communicating and taking the quiz, you can do it for free online. Find your love language. You both take it. And then you can see what's valuable to each person. Because she's probably buying him a bunch of presents. He's like, that's nice, but I don't really exchange gifts.
Yeah.
Then she's then giving him gifts so then she can get gifts, which is weird. You know, if you want to give, go ahead and give without the expectation. So they definitely need to speak on that. And
that's smart.
If it's important to her to get gifts from him, then she can relay that to him. Like, you know, if it's not a money situation and you just didn't think, you know, ahead of time to buy me a gift, I would like it if you put a bit of effort in and get me a little something. It's not what you get me, it's the thought of it. And if that's what she's looking for, then she's going to have to ask him for that, because just expecting people to do what you want them to do is a losing game.
Yeah, you're gonna be sad if you don't. It's scary to ask, you know, but it's scarier to not get anything and stare at that empty tree. Like, I bought him all this stuff, he didn't buy me anything. And you know, the love languages, that's so important, because yeah, people do unto people the way they want to be treated. And maybe that doesn't, Christmas gifts don't mean anything to him. So maybe he assumed it didn't mean much to you. And maybe his gift to you was that good old electricity, you know, that good old heat. He's paying these bills. He might feel like that's your Christmas present, which is kind of not cool, because people don't consider that a gift, but it is. Maybe she should put a bunch of gifts under the tree and sign them from random guys' names to her. Kind of shock them back into reality, like, hey, I'm a catch over here, somebody wants me. But I don't know. Yeah, I have nothing to add to what you said. Love languages, communicate. Make sure you guys are understanding what is important to each other. And don't give just for the sake of hoping to get. And don't not give for the sake of hoping not to get, or whatever that's supposed to mean. Anyway, go ahead.
I think that some people just aren't gift-giving people. They care a lot and they have a lot of good intentions, but they find buying another adult something for Christmas frivolous. And is that a good way to think? There's no good and wrong and bad and great way to think. People just think how they think and they are how they are. So he just might not find it very important. And if that's the case, he'll have to flex and bend a little bit and maybe work with her if that's something that she really, really wants and looks forward to. But then she might have to flex with him and not expect something every, you know, Valentine's Day or sweetest day and birthday. And I mean, if you line up all the events in a year that a person celebrates, I mean, I can't believe we get any work done. It's always somebody's birthday, some event going on, we're celebrating anniversaries. I mean, some people are just celebrated out and they just prefer not to celebrate. Again, if that's how he is and he wants to stick with that and she's really, really, really celebratory and likes to celebrate, then this might not be the exact relationship that she's looking for, if it's that important. Now, if everything else is great and she can look past it and just buy herself gifts at Christmas, because you know, you got those Black Friday sales, you can buy herself whatever she wants.
Right.
This is more communication.
That's why I believe in giving money, because when you just can't think or you just don't want to be bothered with the whole thinking, just give a person money. They can go buy something that they are sure to like.
Cards, things like that.
Yeah, I'm super lazy. Here's some money, bye. But also, like, I got this old school philosophy of what you do to get her. Oh, shit. That was the alarm saying we got a minute to go. Could you even hear that? Okay, cut, take two.
I stepped on some wood, and I hope it didn't creak too loud. Sorry.
I didn't hear it. Well, I'm from the old school. I got the old school philosophy. What you do to get her is what you got to do to keep her. So if in the beginning you're like, oh, yeah, I'm so accommodating, I'm so flexible, I so appreciate you, I want you to be happy, I'm willing to buy you flowers. It's like, don't get down the road and like, I'm not buying you nothing and that's overrated and blah, blah, blah. The things that make her happy, now you don't even care because now she's become like an old pair of shoes, really comfortable, but who really cares? It's like, you can't do that. You got to keep her fresh. You got to keep looking at her like she's a catch, because when you take her for granted, the rest of the world doesn't. There's guys out there that want to make her the princess again. So if you got it and you like it, do what you got to do to maintain it, or you might not have it, sir. That's my view. Yep. So, well, this was another great episode, and we hope that you feel encouraged to send us your questions. We'll make up fake names, or you can be anonymous, or you can give us your real name. It's on you. And we'll do our best to give you the spin from the I don't know. Wait a minute, let's do that ending again. So this brings us to the end of another exciting episode. We hope that you enjoyed it. We hope that you got some helpful information. We encourage you, the listeners, to go ahead and send us your questions. The more details, the better answer you'll get, but you can send whatever you like, and we'll do our best to offer you some solutions to your love issues and relationship problems. That's all I have. What about you, Jenny?
You can find us at adviceforlovers.com. You can message us through there, and we'd be happy to answer your questions online and maybe help you as well as others that are in the same situation that you are. We appreciate you for listening, and until next time.
Thank you for tuning in to the Advice for Lovers podcast. Visit us on the web at adviceforlovers.com. Today's show has been brought to you by 5D Presence, a podcasting network that brings you a variety of podcasts to assist you on your journey to fulfillment and happiness. We hope to see you in our next episode.